Hello, everybody. Welcome to You, Me, Them, Everybody. My name is Brandon Weatherby. Welcome to The Hungry Brain. It is the show before Easter. It's our Easter extravaganza show. There's Easter bunnies everywhere. There are peeps. There's microwave. There's people in peeps in the mic. Yeah, this whole bar is just one giant microwave full of peeps to me. I'm lying. For the listener at home, I am not lying. I've never lied in my life. So anyways, why did I open with that? Anyways, apparently I have an Easter monologue that I've been doing for the past few years, and I decided I wanted to do it again tonight. It's a true story. We're gonna do This American Life. We're gonna do The Moth. We're gonna be really intimate. So here's the thing. I went to Catholic school my entire life. I was not baptized Catholic. I'm not a religious man at all. This isn't like, hey, look, Nine Inch Nails a lot as a teenager. Fuck God. No. This has nothing to do with that. I just happen to have gone to a Catholic school my entire life. The only non-Catholic kid. Every eighth grade year, we did the Stations of the Cross, but we did the Living Stations of the Cross. The Stations of the Cross are the 15 steps Jesus goes through from being condemned to death by Pontius Pilate to being taken off the cross, and then he is risen 3 days later. So there are two other gents with JC, two criminals. There's a criminal that repents and the other guy. I was the other guy because I was the only non-Catholic kid in the entire school. We had one African-American kid in our class. He got to be the other criminal. Jesus, on the other hand, was one of my best friends, Neil Gorka. I shouldn't say his full name. He's Neil Gorka, lives in Brooklyn, good guy. He was Jesus. At 14 years old, Jesus had a six-pack and curly hair and beautiful olive skin. I was not like that in any way. I looked like a fat Superboy. So I was just like a little pudgy, but not like the fattest kid. Like I couldn't, nowadays I'd be thin, but like I could totally make the roster of heavyweights. Like that was my size level, which is fine, whatever. Me, hot Jesus, and the only black kid in school, we have to walk behind Jesus and get whipped by the Roman soldiers. And I don't know if you guys know this, but when you're 14 years old, it's really fun to not pretend whip people and to actually whip people in front of a giant church full of kids. Now the way that the church was set up was the older grades sit closer to the altar. The altar is essentially the stage of the church. So further back is the younger kids. But we do a giant loop through the entire church. So there's it goes from like, okay, there's a 12-year-old seeing me in a robe, and you could totally see like male little boobies, and they're cute boobs. There's no hair on them yet, so it's fine. And then you're walking in the back. Oh, there's some preschoolers looking at you. This is getting weirder and weirder. And that is the weirdest part is all the parents that are real happy to see a bunch of kids or two kids get whipped. Now in the Stations of the Cross, Jesus has a really cool lady wipe his face down because he's sweaty. They don't do that for the criminals. So we're literally sweating bullets and getting whipped by our friends. Around stage 10 or 11, they strip you down. They strip you down because you get hung on the cross. Jesus, famously on the cross, to this day, looking pretty tight. Like, he's pretty good dude. Like, a six-pack. He's got that little hole in his side. It's fine. He's got underwear on. He's got, like, bulky, diaperish underwear. Those other two guys, same outfits. I was a cool kid, and because I was a cool kid, I was not into briefs like Jesus. So Jesus, six-pack abs, just being awesome in front of a church full of kids and adults. But me, I'm like a cool guy, so I wear boxers. I wear boxers. Not boxer briefs, just regular old boxers with a hole where you could put your penis through. You know how Mary Magdalene wiped his face? Well, the women did do a good thing for the criminals, and that was take off their clothes. So The woman, Jesus Christ, I was 14. The girl I liked a lot from probably 6 to 14 years old was the one that took my robe off. And that made me incredibly erect because I'm 14. And then they put me on a cross. And they hang me on the cross. And I'm wearing a boxers. And that's why I'm the criminal that didn't repent, because I just showed an entire church full of people my little 14-year-old dick. Not that it's any different now, but they saw it. They saw it. I never repented. That's what Easter is to me. That's what this whole thing is about. I'm not saying there's a God. If you're really listening to a podcast trying to figure out God, that's a thing. Good for you. Keep looking. It's not here. But that's a thing. I'm not going to make fun. Maybe you're on a journey. This is not a journey cast. This is not a podcast for you. Go listen to Pete Holmes. He makes it weird. He's very, very good. I enjoy that show. Anyways, that's what this show is about. It's about me talking about my 14-year-old dick, and it's a fun show. Esmeralda's the co-host. Say hello, Esmeralda.
Hi, everybody.
Brilliant. We also have guests, because that's what talk shows do. We have Red Hot Annie. We have Akeem But Wonson, who is awesome and does Rabbit Radio, we have a comic that I've been too nervous to ask to do this show, even though the show's been going on for 5 years now. CJ Sullivan's here, and we have music from Matt Campbell. Hey, it's Trevor. Trevor's been on the show before. Trevor has a beard on right now, and it's weird because Trevor's a very attractive man, so when I see you with a beard, I'm like, oh, it's an uggo hiding face. But no, you're a beautiful man, so good on ya. Nice to see you, Trevor. Esmeralda, how are you?
Good. I was thinking more Jesus.
Oh, yes. Trevor, do you have a beard because it's the holidays? Oh, that's nice. That's very
it's
nice.
It's a holiday beard.
It's moving on. Esmeralda, you are the co-host.
He can put eggs in it.
No,
and then children will scavenger through his beard.
It's not a Grizzly Adams bad beard, and you are not Mike, so you have to be quiet now. So thank you so much for coming. I appreciate you as a human being. Esmeralda, you are the co-host, which means we talk about co-hosty things, which means we talk about the news and make quips.
Yeah.
What's our first story?
A lady set a snake on fire.
Now, how is this news? Because
in her house.
That's a bad idea.
And then her house burnt down.
That's what happens. Where is this former house?
Florida.
Was it really Florida? I'm going to go.
No, wait. I'm sorry. Texas.
Texas? Ooh, Texas. Now, have you been to Texas?
No, I've never been.
Do you want to go to the Lone Star State?
I kind of, because I want to eat big things of steak. And I understand you can eat that anywhere, but for some reason I feel like
it feels more appropriate.
Yeah.
It's like eating Wisconsin cheese in Wisconsin.
And no one judges you because everyone else is eating big old steaks.
That's any restaurant where they serve big old steaks.
No, because you know someone's eating a salad in there and judging you.
Well, how often are you eating and you're in fear of people judging you?
That is true.
Okay, that was a question, but I take it. I'll accept
no,
that.
No, I don't, yeah.
Good, good. So people burn down houses due to snakes.
Yeah, well, the thing is, how they describe it in the story is that she just, you know, she's cleaning her house and there's just a snake hanging out and she sees it and throws some gasoline on it. And to me, it sounds like she just has gasoline sitting on her countertop. Like she has house gasoline.
Yeah, we all have house gasoline.
For all those pesky things that you got to set on fire.
It's a brilliant idea and it ended well.
It just backfired because she set the snake on fire. So that was successful. But then it walked away. It slithered away.
Yes, that's what they do.
And then started catching the house on fire.
Yes.
So I think what you have to do is you got to set it on fire.
No.
And then stomp on it.
No, no, no. You could just not do that.
Or you could put rocks around the snake.
Yes, like a campfire.
And then make a campfire in your house. And then you don't have to go outside where there's all the mosquitoes.
Pit. It's a snake fire pit. It's
very
cute. Yeah, it's kind of.
I'm going to sell that.
No, you can't.
Yeah, I would just. You would just. What your
are
you
going to
sell? Snake is needed.
The idea of rocks?
Yeah. It would be a kit.
Oh, okay. I understand. Well, if you put it in a box, it's fine.
Yeah, it'd be some rocks, and they'd be really nice rocks.
Yeah. Wouldn't like Crate and Barrel rocks.
Yeah, they'd be really nicely shaped and smooth.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Some grass, I guess. I don't know. What do you put in pits?
Well, for this, it's just rocks, gasoline, and something to light the snake on fire.
Well, yeah, but, you know, eventually the snake will, you know, not be on fire.
You have to get more snakes. It'll snakes are the wood in this fire pit. It's a never.
Well, it would have to be include your own snake. This is, you have to get your own snake.
Have you ever eaten snake?
No. Why would I do that?
Because it's good. No, it's chewy. I just had alligator last week.
How was that?
Chewy. It was fine.
Gross.
Yeah, it just tasted okay.
Is that because it wasn't cooked properly?
No, it's what it is.
And why do
look
people
at the,
eat
listen
it?
To the captivated audience. Next story.
Why do people eat that then? That sounds terrible. Just go eat a steak.
Well, yes, I agree.
Or a snake in a pit.
No.
It'd be crispy like chips.
Why not just have chips?
Because the snake has a nice toasty aftertaste.
No.
I don't know.
No. Moving on.
So in Villa Park, I guess they're doing their mayoral
Villa Park
candidates.
Is a city or a suburb of Chicago?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know. I thought it was a neighborhood.
No, it's its own thing.
Yeah, I don't know these things.
Yeah. Okay, continue.
So this guy, he's running for mayor, and I guess someone found some pictures of
Wait
him.
Wait a second. You thought it was part of Chicago and he's running for mayor?
No.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay, continue. I'm sorry.
It's a
I should
place
have interrupted.
Called Villa Park.
Villa Park, a place.
So he's running
That's
for mayor.
That's their motto. He's running for mayor.
It's next to Chicago.
Yeah.
He's running for mayor, and someone finds pictures of him with his thing hanging out. And that's pretty much all they are, because I saw them.
His penis.
Yes. On a website.
Yes.
And actually what's funny is that's the story.
Yeah.
That's it.
It's a good story.
He's not even the mayor yet.
That's why it's a little bit more interesting. He's currently running for mayor.
Yeah, but he's like some pudgy dude who, and he's just like, oh, it's bad. And then that was
it
the
is
end
bad.
Of it.
Well, why is he on camera showing his pee-pee?
So I did some super sleuthing because they don't tell you what the website is.
Okay.
So I found it.
Yes.
It's kind of hard to find. It's not, you know, it's not X Hamster. It's not RedTube. It's not anything like that.
Okay.
It's some website called CallCammy.
Call Cammy.
Mm-hmm.
K or C?
A C.
Two C's.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it looks like it's got sparkly bits and flashing dollar signs.
So it's like MySpace in 2006.
Yeah.
That's
yes!
good. It's a good era. I miss that era.
Exactly. And she, I guess what she does dirty things on the camera.
Okay.
And people pay for it. And he was under the section of blackmail pics because he did not pay his $30 to Cammy.
In order to watch Cammy, do you also have to have your camera on?
Yes.
Ooh, that's
and
fun.
And she took
that's
his picture.
That's a fun time. That's a fun. That's a horrible job. Her
Why
job
would it
is
be?
Horrible.
No, she makes money from them.
No, not that part. Not her doing stuff to herself to derive pleasure and money. That's fine. The stuff where she has to archive all of the shitty, weird dicks
you
of
know what?
Shitty, weird people
all
that she's
fun
seen.
Fun jobs have the boring number side, and that's what this is.
Do you think Cammy has a different person to do this, or is it is Cammy a
no.
one-woman operation?
I think Cammy's a one. She's an entrepreneur.
Maybe she
has a one-person
Where's
show.
Cammy located?
I don't know. Well, they don't. They're not going to say, because then people will go find her.
No, they could say, because there might be like a statute where you can't just do blackmail like that, and in certain...
Well, she's not getting any money. She's just screwing them over by showing their picture.
That's blackmail. Because you don't pay me, I will do this.
Yeah, but she doesn't get anything from it, because it's not
she's
like they give her the money.
No, she's trying... Yeah, she's, the point is she will get paid, so they don't show these pics.
Oh, well, then he was too cheap to give her the money.
That's the problem.
But then also, my problem with it is not the fact that he was showing his wiener. Well, the one problem I had is he's sitting in front of the camera, in front of his webcam, and he's wearing a dirty old blue T-shirt and no pants.
Because you used to assume that people wore suits. They'd comb
I don't
their
know.
Hair.
Look a little classier. You're going to be on a webcam. Come on.
Nope.
At least impress that
no
girl
one's
that's
ever
jacking
said that
herself
sentence.
Off.
No one's ever said that sentence. Look a little bit classy. You're going to be on webcam. Now, why, if you're on webcam...
Yeah.
You could usually you see like chest up because that's how it's.
Yeah, well, then he decided
so
to stand up
to show the junk.
I think he just stood up.
No,
like he had to go somewhere and he just stood up.
No, nope,
that's how it looks.
That's not how I would do things.
And his and it's right there.
Nope, that's not how that would work at all.
And it was a little sad.
Well, of course, it's always a little. It's always yeah. sad. It's always sad. Also, have you ever been excited to see a dick via webcam?
That's
ever.
True. But that's not what she's about.
No, but I just like to, I think in his mind, she'd be like, oh, you know what's going to derive some pleasure for her?
Me standing
this.
Up.
I'm a...
Nope.
Nope.
What I don't... Okay, so this is the one thing that I was bothered by. So he's a mayoral candidate, right? He stiffs this entrepreneur...
Yes.
...of her money.
This small businesswoman.
What kind of mayor is that? I don't like
a
him.
A bad
I
mayor.
Vote for him.
A bad mayor. You should move to Villa Park and
no,
not
well,
vote
I'm not
going to
vote for him because he's not...
You're changing the world one vote at a
small
time.
Small businesses.
It's important.
That's
I mean,
what we're all
Obamacare
about.
Is ruining small businesses. It's a fact.
Oh, and she would need a lot of health care, I'm assuming. Well, no, because she's a one-lady show. There's no...
It's not like the fluids come through the screen. She's
yeah,
fine.
Yeah, that's true. And she talks a lot about fluid and them eating it. It's really weird.
That's a callback to something that the podcast listener didn't hear at home. Stephanie Haas opened the show with some bits about that.
Yeah.
If you want to hear more of those
you
bits, go listen to our
her.
LA show.
You could do a thing.
Who? That the mayor? Yes, actually, yes. If you if the mayor candidate is listening, we have a Chicago comic that might be right up your alley. It will be
in Villa
a
Park.
Beautiful relationship. It's not too far. I mean,
yeah, he is. I think he's balding.
He's balding.
He's pretty short.
It's.
I think
he sounds like a little monster. Not a Lady Gaga fan, but a different kind of actual monster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he'd be perfect.
Do we have anything else?
There's an Olive Garden that's being built at the Kmart over by Addison and the Highway.
Yep, everything you said is perfect.
I'm
that's exactly where
excited.
The Olive Garden in Chicago. Chicago currently does not have an Olive Garden. It's going next to the Highway and Kmart.
The only
down the street from Wrigley Field. It's perfect. That's exactly where it should be.
With the Little Caesars in the Kmart.
That's right. That's right. That took like 30 years of just good market research. Where can we get the most bang for our Olive Garden buck?
What I hope, the way this could be perfect, and I would be there all the time, is if it also had a Red Lobster next door.
Okay. I know that you're not joking.
No, I'm not. No. I want some biscuits, and then I want to go over there and eat some breadsticks and unlimited salad. And maybe a soup in there.
For the listener at home, when I say we're in Chicago, we're not in the suburbs. We're actually in Chicago, one of the greatest food cities in the world.
Yeah.
Some of the best Italian food in the world. Not the best seafood because we're in Chicago. It
yeah.
doesn't matter.
Yet, in spite of all of this, you would rather go to Olive Garden and walk across a giant parking lot to Red Lobster.
Those are the best.
Those are the best.
Those Cheddar Bay biscuits, man.
You are someone that has a vision and a quest and are putting those two things together to make a vision quest, and it's going to be brilliant and delightful, and you're going to change the world.
Well, I got really mad that there was a Red Lobster downtown and they got rid of it.
Yeah.
I should have gone to protest.
Yeah.
I would have been the only one.
Yeah, because it's out of business. It's very not sad. Okay, coming to the stage is a very talented woman, burlesque performer, and she's done the show before. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for the extremely lovely Miss Red Hot Annie. Annie, the stage is yours. Come to the stage. For the listener at home, Annie just jumped a foot, even though there are stairs right there.
I think it was 2 feet.
2 feet. Congratulations.
Why use the stairs? Go right for it.
Okay, that's a thing you could do. Okay, Annie, you've done the show before.
Yes.
You are a burlesque performer.
Yes.
Now, when I think of burlesque, I think of two schools. Tell me if I'm right or wrong on this. I think of performers like you who are from like the early, not vaudeville, but like the 20s, 30s, 40s. Like I have a, like I'm going to build a show. And then there are the people that are like, I'm going to buy a Mario costume and then take the Mario costume off. Now, I don't think that there's anything wrong with either camp, but I think they're a little bit different. Now, yes. Am I missing something about burlesque, or am I like 100% right?
No, you're. I think you're 100% right.
Thank you. Yeah, that's why sure. You're on the show. You could leave.
See you later.
You are working on a new show, and that's a good reason why people should actually follow you on the social medias, because you've been posting like pics of you working on the show and stuff like that.
Oh yeah.
I just saw like your costume designs and stuff, and they're very intricate. Hold on 1 second. For the listener at home, the Tamale Man is here because we're recording in Chicago. Ladies and gentlemen, the Tamale Man, give him a round of applause.
We should have a song, and it's just like Tamale Man, and then you play it while he's here, and then he.
Yeah. Have a good one, man. Good luck.
See ya.
Silent. Getting some, CJ. Good. You've been working on a show. I've been seeing these designs. They're very intricate designs. For someone that's going to literally throw the clothes on the ground, why try? Why make them so intricate?
Oh, my God. That's a good question.
Very good at this.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, actually, burlesque is extremely visual.
Yes.
Obviously, like, seeing somebody's body on stage is a very, like, visceral, visual sort of
course,
situation,
yeah.
Right? Burlesque, especially modern burlesque, is really, like, it really plays to the, like, super feminine mm-hmm. Aspects of performance, whether you're a gentleman or a lady who's mm-hmm. taking off their clothing. So the costumes kind of accentuate the feminine.
Okay, now, we didn't talk about this last time, but there's boylesque now.
Yeah.
I don't know what the scene is like in Chicago, but on the East Coast, there's some stuff in New York that's going on. And to me, from an outsider's point of view, it's more like I'm going to buy the Mario costume and then take the Mario costume off.
For the gentleman?
For the gentleman. I haven't seen a lot of intricate, really well thought out, actual planned boylesque.
Well, we're pretty lucky in Chicago.
Okay.
Because almost every, I feel like pretty confident in saying this, like almost every gentleman that you would see doing boylesque mm-hmm. in Chicago actually is not like that at all.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So most of the gentlemen who do burlesque here are really aware of the costuming and
yeah.
the visual presentation of things. They're usually really good dancers.
Mm-hmm.
And it's usually most of their acts are, this sounds strange to say, but like a tribute to femininity.
Okay.
So even though they may be very masculine mm-hmm. and macho, they're not afraid to do like a little bump and grind and mm-hmm. like sort of have that fun, accessible thing for
when
the
you
audience.
Say bump and grind, we're not talking about early 90s R&B, we're talking about
right.
a move.
Like the move, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, like kind of something that makes you go like, what? Okay, yes.
I thought you were going to say things that make you go, which is a different early 90s R&B. So the show that you're working on that opens on April 6th, like is there a premise of the show, or is it just like, these are things I want to try that are brand new?
Well, actually, we've been working for the last year and a half on developing some different shows, kind of like, you know, themed shows. So in April, we'll be doing our After Dark themed show.
Okay.
So it's like our sexy, sultry, classic burlesque. Mm-hmm. A lot of like just, you know, it's like a little bit on the darker side for us, like, but dark and steamy and sexy.
Okay. Not dark like makeup dark, like
not like gothy dark.
Okay. But like more like dark, like nightclub, smoky
ooh,
room type of thing.
Yeah.
You're just saying ooh and
yeah.
Yeah. So if I'm writing the press release, I'm confused.
No, I think like you could write that for sure. It's like, okay. Ooh, yeah.
Now, you've been doing this a while. I'm not calling you old.
No.
You've been doing this a while. You're a
pro. I started when I was 16.
You're not 16 anymore. I'm not saying to reveal your age.
I'm 18. Okay.
No. You're a woman.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Does it get boring?
Yes. Sometimes it gets a little bit boring.
And you're
say.
Also in a
yeah.
relationship.
Yes.
Which would make it kind of even more boring. No offense to the wonderful man who's sitting over there. Yeah. Thanks for coming, man. I appreciate it.
You know, the thing about doing, I think, any sort of performance art in any genre is that you have to do things that self-stimulate. You know what I mean?
Well, like, what is that you going. For you in this?
Well, honestly, for me, I really like working with a team. I like having like a crew of people to bounce ideas off mm-hmm. of. And I really like to build bigger things than what already exists.
When you say bigger things, what do you mean?
Well, I mean like collaborations. I mean like group acts. I mean like skits. Just things that are like when you say like the Mario Brothers yeah. costume in a bag.
Yeah.
That's like the entry level of performance art, right? Is mm-hmm. like you go and you pick up something and then you get on stage and you put that thing out there that's like very simple and prepackaged.
Yeah.
I like to take that and like say like, okay, how can we make this set? How can we make I like to produce. I like to make something bigger.
But aren't your hands kind of tied because like at a certain point, if you're in a very large room scene in burlesque, it's kind of pointless. I mean, don't you have to be in a very intimate environment? And doesn't that limit your like stage setup and things like that? And isn't there a turnover? Too many questions at once. Go ahead.
So many questions. Yes.
Okay, but isn't there a turnover? Like you don't want a lot of time on stage. Like let's get the performers out here. Mm-hmm. Therefore, how intricate could you really be?
Well, I think that's a really good question, and that's actually one of the ones that I'm like. That's one of the questions that I'm definitely really interested in. Is how do you develop this show and make this show something that's actually like artistically rewarding and financially sustainable.
Have you ever had a rotating stage?
Could that cost
a lot of money, like a dumbwaiter stage?
Yeah, I think that probably costs a lot of money, yeah.
Not really. I mean, what would you need? Let's think about this. It's not that hard
lazy
to do.
Lazy Susan, I think.
Yeah, you just need a giant
and
Lazy
a piece
Susan.
Of piece of plywood?
Yeah. No, because then the stuff could get... No, you need a few pieces of plywood.
Okay.
It'll work. It's not that hard to do. Yeah. I'm pretty sure Limp Bizkit had a rotating stage in the Family Values Tour of 99. Mm-hmm. Yes, it was 99. Mm-hmm. They just opened in 98. Did you see the Family Values Tour?
I did not see the Family
Values. That's a shame. They're great. Merle, did you see the Family Values Tour?
No.
That's a shame as well. I saw two editions of the Family Values Tour. The second one featured this band called Filter, who are going on tour this summer with Everclear, Marcy Playground, and the Gin Blossoms.
I heard about that.
This summer there?
This summer.
Oh, my God.
One of Merle's favorite bands is Marcy Playground. Have you ever done burlesque to the horrible song Sex and Candy?
Who are
you talking to?
Either one.
Yeah, have you?
No.
Nope.
No.
I have not personally, but I know somebody who does.
Oh, that's cute.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, moving on. What's different about the show on April 6th that you've been working on? I know it's been a year and a half in the process, but it's not like right. You haven't been performing for a year and a half.
No. Yeah, we've been performing. Well, for us, it's just definitely a culmination of just a lot of ensemble work and mm-hmm. coming up with pieces that I think will resonate with the audience because they're about the individual's self-expression as opposed to just like a prepackaged show.
Of course. Okay, now one of the ways you're actually able to make friends is the classes. Which is a little different. Like to me burlesque isn't that much different than say like a stand-up. You have friends and you see each other a lot, but you don't participate together. It's not sketch, it's not improv, it's not a band. So, like, how do you make a burlesque friend? Like, you don't share clothes. Like, how does this work? Is it like a junior high, like, locker room? Like, what?
I think it's probably similar to stand-up. Yeah, I think it's probably similar to stand-up. Plus, we have rehearsals.
Okay.
So, like, when we see that somebody that we really like and really want to have part of our crew, then we just have them join our Tuesday night rehearsals.
Which, do you have a name of your crew?
Vaudzilla, yeah.
Okay, I get it. I know why you did it. And I could see, like, the art behind it is so great. But, like, you're not doing the costume in a bag thing, and it sounds like you're going to do a Godzilla burlesque show.
Ooh, that sounds fun.
It sounds horrible.
No.
With a shitty felt costume?
No. It has to be nice shitty. One. It would
it's
be
Godzilla.
Like,
Godzilla never had a nice costume.
It would be, like, pleather and faux fur and, like, some of those beady eyes that go, like.
Are feathers a problem in your household?
Feathers are a serious problem in our household for sure. Yeah.
Do you have a good vacuum cleaner?
We do have a good vacuum.
Is it a Dyson?
No.
Okay, what's your vacuum cleaner? Let's plug.
I don't know. I guess Hoover.
It's
or
a Hoover.
Something.
Hoover. Hoover's a good, yeah. good. Yeah. Thanks to shout out to Hoover.
Dyson,
shout out to Hoover. Buy them on Amazon.com. Remember to click through nothing to buy them on Amazon.com. Okay, so, what's the career trajectory on this? Mm. You're using your body. You started this when you were 16. You're not a prostitute, by the way. For the listener at home, she's not a prostitute. Also, there's nothing wrong with being a prostitute. She just happens to not be a prostitute. So when I say using your body, it's okay. It's applicable.
Okay.
Okay. What's the what's the career trajectory for this?
No, I think that's actually a great question. I think the career trajectory for me is probably just continuing into production.
Okay.
And producing.
Would you ever want to own a theater? Is this sustainable
yes,
enough
yes,
to own a theater?
Yes, I definitely want to own a theater. I think actually that would be the next... like the next big thing after we've got these weekly shows going.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm always kind of thinking about those things, Brandon. That's
you
like
should.
My like thing that I bring to the table, I think, is actually that I can make things sustainable and kind of like make them.
Unlike Obamacare, it's just not sustainable. Agreed? Why does anyone want to talk about the important issues of the day? We got Barack Hussein Obamacare in the office and no one's talking about this. It's really disappointing. So. I know that, that what I just said right now is going to get so many butts in the seats for your burlesque show. What's the name of the show on that begins on April 6th? It's not just April 6th.
No.
It opens April 6th.
It opens April 6th. It's called Vodzilla After Dark. And it's at Stage 773, 10:30 p.m. on Saturdays. And it runs for the foreseeable future.
I think it's a good idea if you are in a new relationship or going on a date to go to it because it's simple. It's easy. Everyone likes it. Everyone likes pretty things. You're pretty people doing cool stuff, so that's good. And then secondly, if you're in a horrible, loveless relationship, you should definitely go because then you'll have better sex.
Fodder.
And if you're single, you should go and make friends.
Yes.
And if you hate everything and just listen to podcasts, that's okay too. Remember to click through to buy Hoover vacuums on Amazon.com. Annie, where can people find you on the social media?
You can look me up under Red Hot Annie on just about anything.
That's so great. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for the very delightful Red Hot Annie. Shake hands. Awesome. Thank you. You're done. That was really good. You could use the stairs. Okay.
She's really tall. She
oh, yeah. What? How tall are you? Like 5'10"? Are you wearing heels? Okay. You're 5'10". You have wonderful posture, too. Good for you. Akeem, you ready to do this? Ladies and gentlemen, he is the host of Rye Bride Radio, who is, which is about to record their 200th episode on... Annie knows him, apparently. Which is about to record their 200th episode on Saturday with a very special guest in front of the show, James Adomian. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for the very pretty, the very sexual Akeem and Watson, everybody. Akeem, come to the stage. Akeem, take a seat. We could shake hands if you'd like. I don't know if you were doing a thing. Okay. Akeem, I apologize because I always say your name very quickly because I think I'm going to mispronounce it. Yeah. I know how to spell it really well, but I don't know how to say it correctly. Akeem, please say your last name.
It's Lawanson.
Lawanson.
I feel like I'm in elementary school again.
For the listener at home, Akeem is the one with the way better voice.
Really?
Come on. See, we did it. I am sitting on stage with two people who have careers and futures in radio, and I'm a podcast guy. So, Akeem, you run Rye Bread Radio.
Yep.
What is Rye Bread Radio?
It is a performing arts podcast that I run out of my house. So we have one. It's similar to this show.
This is a basement in Wicker Park. This is exactly the same as your show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we have on like similar guests. I've had on Annie.
Yes.
Annie, she was lovely. She was in my studio. She brought a woman with her.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I
she
like
is
when,
a woman as well. So
yeah. Yeah.
With her.
Two for two.
Yeah. And we have on musical acts as well.
Yeah.
Comedians.
How does? Yeah.
Yeah. Stephanie on too.
You
Stephanie Haas was on her show two times. I think
it's more of a traditional show.
Yeah.
You have callers.
Uh huh.
You have crazy fans.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, crazy fans.
Yeah. Why do you do this?
Why do I do it?
Yeah, why do you do it?
I do it for creative control, you know?
For wait. Who's like trying, who's the man in this situation that's trying to stomp your creative control?
Well, I worked in radio before.
Yes, you did.
So that's the thing. Like, I worked in radio. I was doing production work. I was doing all this stuff that I really didn't want to do.
So was Merle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Why are you calling her Merle?
Esmeralda.
Oh, okay. I thought I was going to get your name wrong. I was like, her name's Merle? I thought it was Esmeralda.
Yeah.
You just kind of confused me. I'm
yeah,
sorry.
Yeah. Why did you do a different voice for your own voice?
That's the inner Akeem.
Okay.
There's a different voice inside of my head all the time that's talking to me.
Okay. You know, and like, he sounds like that guy.
He talk like this, man.
Where are you from?
Inside Akeem, man. I'm inside his head. That's where I'm from.
That's
man.
Fine. How old is inside Akeem?
Man, about like 13.
He's 13. I was going to guess like 81. No, no, I'm sorry, like 54.
No, man, 13 years, man.
Okay.
Okay. Okay,
where are you from originally?
Me? I am from here, Chicago.
Wonderful.
Born in Hyde Park.
Yeah. Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chicago boy.
What's your biggest complaint with President Barack Hussein Obamacare?
The fact that I can no longer go to Hyde Park.
Why?
Because the place that my grandmother owns is now blocked off by those big SUV vans.
So
or whatever
she's got really good property.
Yeah, and I told her she should sell. She's like, I ain't selling
nothing.
No,
no, she shouldn't sell.
She should. I can't visit her, though.
No, because he's going to go back there.
Okay.
So that property will just get like higher and higher.
Well, eventually she's going to have to sell it. She's not going to live forever.
Well, that doesn't mean she's got to sell it. Well, it means she'll die, and then it will go to someone else. Well,
hopefully one of us.
Did you not know death works? Death happens, everybody.
Yeah, how does death work,
It's
Brendan?
Well, there's two ways to do it. One is you live a full life, and you try to find truth and beauty in life, and that's what we're doing here. And then the other one is you marry a cop on the south side of Chicago.
Okay.
Those are the two ways to die. Okay, now... your show's been going for a long time.
Yes.
It's growing every
fourth year.
I've done it a handful of times. It's a lot of fun.
Thank you for doing it, too.
You have a lot of energy.
Yeah.
Is this a lie or is it real?
My energy?
Yes.
Okay. So, no, it's not.
Which one?
I wish it was.
Is it a lie?
It's not a lie.
It's real.
No, it's I don't know what it is about me, but I just seem to have, every time I turn on the microphone, I just seem to look just burst with energy. I think it might be because of my co-host.
Okay, who is not high energy in the least.
No.
No.
And I've been doing this for like 4 years now. I've never had a high energy co-host.
Who is your current co-host?
Brian Sweeney.
Yes, and I know Brian.
He's a great guy.
Now, your dream is what?
To work in radio.
But you just said you left it. Okay, what's your ideal radio show?
I wasn't a radio host. At all.
Why
did
you
quit? I did production work.
Because you didn't want to try hard enough to host.
No. The show
I
was
fucking with you.
Stop that.
Nope. Nailing this one.
The show I was working for, though, got nipped in the bud.
What was the show?
Morning Fix.
Wait. You were worried about saying the Morning Fix on this podcast because you thought that it would possibly get back to you that the Morning Fix got canceled and you lost a job.
It's all your fault.
How? Okay.
Jim Lynam can suck it.
No one knows and or cares about that thing.
No one knows who he is?
No.
Okay.
You still listen to terrestrial radio.
Yeah.
Why?
Because it exists.
A lot of things
exist.
I'm
waiting for it to not exist.
You know? No, I want it to exist.
Really?
Yeah, it's fun.
You really want AM and FM radio to exist?
Absolutely,
still.
Yeah. They provide great services. I like sports. You make fart noises. Do you like sports?
Yeah, sometimes.
What's your favorite team of sport?
I would say the soccer one.
Yeah, you don't like sports. That was funny. You made a funny joke, and we all laughed. Okay, now, Ryberg Radio, where does the name come from?
Okay, so it's me. I'm a black dude, and I was working with two Mexican
For the listener
dudes.
At home, Akeem is black.
Yeah. People forget that when they hear my voice. I don't know why.
Well, I can't say anything without sounding racist, so say the next thing.
So, yeah, I was working with two Mexican dudes.
Okay.
And I was working with a white guy.
A white guy?
Guy. Yeah, he was a guy.
Two Mexican gentlemen and you.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
All right, so we were just, like, sitting down in the radio studio.
Was this also a set of a McDonald's commercial?
No.
Okay.
Wendy's.
That's very nice.
Yes.
What's your favorite sandwich at Wendy's?
Double stack? Yeah, double stack.
Ooh, okay. Next question. Continue the story.
So we were sitting in the radio studio. We had full reign at the college that I attended.
Yes.
We were like, hey, man, let's start a podcast.
Who said that?
Who else? One of the Mexicans.
One of the Mexicans? One of the Mexicans said, hey, man, let's start a podcast.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so we were like, okay, cool. What are we going to call it? So we were tossing out all these different names.
Yes.
I'm fixated on things pertaining to food or beverages.
For the listener at home, you're a thin man.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So one of the names I tossed out was Milk Aid. So I'm a bit of a graphic designer. All right, let me explain this to you all. So I think in logos. All right.
And you thought combining something that comes from an udder and something that has murdered millions of people together would be a great name and logo.
Yeah. I thought of a milk carton and then a plus sign on the front of it.
Yeah.
That's what I thought of.
Yeah. All right.
I was thinking them Lick-A-Maids.
Yeah.
I was thinking Linka
Maids. That could have worked.
Yeah, it could have.
Or Kool-Aid that was flavored of milk.
That is a possibility. Milk-flavored Kool-Aid.
That'd be delish. It'd look like blood.
Wait, why? It'd be milk-flavored.
Yeah, it'd be white.
Yeah, it'd be white.
You said, I don't know.
No one said blood at all.
You said pink. I thought I heard pink.
No one said pink, and you got to blood from nothing.
I'm sorry. I got spunk in my pocket. That's why I'm confused.
What's spunk?
It's one of our sponsors.
Are you seriously plugging shit right now?
No, I'm not.
Bullshit. What's spunk? Let's talk about it.
It's a hybrid lubricant.
Okay, and you happen to wait. Let's hash this out. You have what is it?
Hybrid lubricant.
Hybrid lubricant. Whatever.
Yeah.
You have hybrid lubricant in your pocket.
Uh-huh.
Honestly?
Yeah.
Why?
Keeps me warm.
Wait. Stop. Do you own gloves?
Oh, I would love gloves.
Wait. Stop. Why are you putting hybrid lubricant on your hands instead of wearing gloves that you can take on and off and not say things like blood out of nowhere?
Okay. Was that not a good transition?
No, that was perfect.
I thought that was perfect.
This is perfect.
You want to know the truth why I have it, though? I asked you on the Facebooks.
Yeah.
I was like, hey, Brandon, should I bring something?
No.
Yeah, I thought.
I said you. I want to see
Wade,
you.
Wade, and your thought was let's bring some spunk?
So, yeah,
thank
well,
you.
There's only so many things I can bring to a bar that, you know, like we have beverages that I could, but it's a bar. You're going to be drinking here, so. I'm
okay.
Like,
it's a very nice gesture.
Bring some nice packets for everyone in the audience.
You brought packets of sample spunk.
Yeah, yeah. Can I bring them out and let the audience?
Why would you ever ask if you could? Just don't throw it.
No.
May I see
this?
I got a bunch of them. Now, okay, for the listener at home, what this is, it looks like a sample of, say, lotion. And it's just a sticker that was obviously printed at an Office Depot. With a logo that screams 1998 Claire's Boutique.
Isn't that terrible?
Yeah. Now, these people give you money?
Yeah.
Now, wait. Is it pink?
That's the pink one for women.
You transitioned this entire interview to sell spunk?
No, I didn't. Let's end this. No, I didn't. I didn't mean to do that.
In a scale of one to spunk, how spunk is spunk?
Spunktastic.
That's pretty good.
Yeah,
now,
it's not even a number.
Are you in a relationship? Don't put it on yourself, Esmeralda.
No, stop. Don't do that. It's poison. What are you doing?
Now, Akeem, do you have are you in a relationship?
No, I am not.
Have you been in a relationship since Spunk has become a sponsor?
No. No, I think that might have been what ended my relationship.
What actually ended your relationship?
My girlfriend's neighbor.
No, it's not a thing. Continue.
No, yes, it is. Because 2 months after her wanting to be alone, they got engaged.
Did they take all of your spunk?
I don't know how that
happened. Merle won. Merle said, did they take all your spunk?
Yeah, my spunk's gone.
And now you have to bring it in sample forms to bars. Akeem, here's the problem with you.
Yeah.
You're a fun guy.
Uh-huh.
You're extremely talented. You're a good-looking dude.
Thanks.
And you're blaming a neighbor for marrying someone that you dated, and you're handing out spunk.
Yeah.
Do you see the two problems in that whole thing?
Okay, come on, mister.
And that's your retort. Keem, you have a wonderful show. I genuinely do enjoy the show.
Thank you.
And,
thank you for
you're very, very good. And I think it's kind of cool because your co-host is totally opposite of you.
Yeah.
Like way
said,
more
it's
than
always been like that. I don't know why that is.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if it's because, like, I have so much energy.
He literally brings you down. And you guys fight. It's really good. It's like old classic radio in a good way.
Yeah.
It's like if you like Steve Dahl, but, like, when he was good, you would like you.
Absolutely.
And that's not a bad thing. That's a compliment. I was thinking, what's not an insult? Jesus Christ. And I'm sorry I made fun of you and your product. I'm sorry.
No, don't talk about that crap anymore.
No, dude.
My co-host, by the way. Now, so he's so low energy, I'm going to tell this real quick.
Okay.
That I purposely try to push his buttons at times.
Yeah.
And throughout the entire, he's been doing this for about like a year and a half with me. Throughout the entire time, we've done so many different 40, 50 episodes together. Only one time did he almost walk out on the show. And it's one of our highest rated shows for some strange reason.
Conflict breeds.
Yeah.
What did you say?
I spoiled the ending of The Dark Knight Rises on air. On a live show, I believe it on the
podcast.
Did
he say spoiler? Did you say spoiler?
I did. I said I put on the effect that I put.
Yeah.
I was like, spoiler alert!
And he got mad because he didn't listen to the giant spoiler alert.
Yeah, he could have taken off the headphones.
Okay.
So he almost, he flipped out.
That's why. And he's 34.
Yeah. He flipped out. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And,
yeah, yeah, yeah. That's
I
right.
I felt bad about it, though, because.
Nope, you did the right thing. You're changing the world.
You know.
Yeah, you're changing the world. You're making it better.
Yeah.
People could find Rye Bread Radio where?
At ryebreadradio.com. We got a fanciful website for you to check out. Yeah, I'd go there.
It's good because if you've never heard the show before, you could just hop in anywhere and it still makes sense.
Absolutely.
It's not contingent on anything like that. And I recommend listening to Saturday's show. That's going to be a really good show. James is a very, very funny man.
We're going to have a lot of fun with him.
Yeah, it sounds horrible. Okay. enjoy your spunk.
All right. Thank you.
I opened it.
What's the verdict, Merle?
And it kind of disappeared, but now it's kind of like powdery. Like it's gone. Like I rubbed it into my hands, like thinking like it's like lotion. Well, because I don't have any napkins, but it's like it's gone now, and it's
and
just
what does
a
it
powdery
smell like?
Nothing.
Yeah. See,
it smells like nothing, and it's just pink. It kind of looks like
You've given us poison.
Yeah, I'm gonna die. It seeped into my
this
skin,
is literally
and I'll probably
poison.
Die of spunk.
I am so sorry. I don't know why it's it. Actually, honestly, it
you
was just
genuinely
in my
thought it was a good idea, though.
I honestly did. I wanted to give something
thank
to
you.
You gave me coffee beans last time you were on the show. The first time you were on the show, you gave me coffee
blue.
Beans.
Yeah, yeah. I gave you an adult gift to another adult. You gave me spunk, not just spunk, pink spunk.
Wait, is there white spunk?
Yeah, it looks like semen.
Wait, the fact that you had to say, wait, it looks like semen, made it so much funnier. Do you not realize why?
Why?
Because she just said, is there white spunk? Obviously, it's cum. And you're, never mind.
Although, I don't know why this would be diseased, wouldn't it? Because it's pink?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely,
there's something
yes.
wrong.
Oh, maybe that's where you get your Milkades. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for Akeem Lawan.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for doing it. I'll take it. Shaking hands like gentlemen.
No one wants to shake my hand now.
No, you're done. this next guy is... I want to give him a good intro. He's very, very funny. I used to listen to him on The Visitor's Locker Room, and hopefully that will come back, and it is an amazing sports podcast for people that, like me, actually like sports. And if you don't like sports, it's fucking great, so listen to that. You've seen him maybe on Comedy Central's mashup. He's the funny one in the last episode. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for one of my favorites, Mr. CJ Sullivan, everybody. CJ, the stage is yours.
Thank you. That was a wonderful introduction. Don't feel bad. It's great. Well, he was nervous about it, weren't you, a little bit? Not really. Whatever.
I am.
It's a fun show. It is. It's fun. It is. I like it. It's a fun show. I like hipster dive bars. They're good. They are. They're fun. I enjoy them. Enjoy them a lot. Hipster area. So a hipster walking his dog right outside. It shit out the perfect ironic mustache. It's hipster shit. I don't know how you hipsters do in the winter. It's fucking skin tight clothes. I would have been a hipster, I think, growing up. I just can't fit into the clothes. It's too tight. I had to go goth. That was my style. I don't know. People are like, hey, you into Satan? You're into Satan, huh? Nah, I just can't fit into a medium, really. So I got this chain wallet and what do we do now? Protest at Chick-fil-A or something? Is that the next step? That was fun when everyone boycotted Chick-fil-A for a week. I got that email. It's hilarious. Boycott Chick-fil-A. Get the fuck out of here. I'm not boycotting shit. It's delicious. I don't know if people got real crazy because they came out against gay marriage and stuff, but they've always been crazy. That's what I kind of like about Chick-fil-A. Like, I don't believe in their crazy beliefs or nothing, but I like how they're crazy. And, like, I like how they have crazy beliefs and say it, you know? Like, companies don't do that shit. Companies never come out with a belief, you know? It's always like, this is opinion of the person only. It doesn't represent the company. They're the opposite. Like, this represents us. All of us. We're fucking nuts. Because all companies, you know, all corporations, all their CEOs are assholes. So just don't come out and say it. Like, you tell me Colonel Sanders for gay marriage. He's a plantation owner, for Christ's sakes. I own slaves. Like, they've always tried to get that CEO in a corner, like some guerrilla liberal journalism. Like, you know, like, hey, is it true? you donated money to anti-gay marriage, anti-gay corporations? He's like, yep, sure did. Why? You didn't know that about us? Yeah, we're fucking nuts. I thought everyone knew that, no? Okay. All right, thanks. We'll come out with a statement then. Thanks for bringing that to our attention. All right, everybody. Hey, it's us, Chick-fil-A. Just want to clear some things up around here. We believe all gays are going to hell. They should not be married. What should be married is delicious chicken sandwiches and waffle fries. Maybe some coleslaw. And we're closed on Sundays. That's a fun place. Yeah, your bartender's great too. Give it up for your bartender. She's awesome. She gave me a little shot, boy, woozy. I hate that like bartender's like that philosophy major who's like reading a book. Like you can't get his attention because he's just fucking just disinterested. Like, hey, James Joyce. Did you get to the chapter about refilling these pretzels yet? Did you get to that one? I know this isn't your dream job, but this isn't my dream life either, so if we could maybe meet halfway. Mm-mm. I like dive bars. No TVs, too. I like those bars. I hate TVs and bars. And no mirrors, just walls. How you doing? I hate those bars with just mirrors everywhere, so you think it's bigger than it is. You know, it just keeps on going. You're like, hey, look at that. Look at that fucking asshole over there. Look at how mess he is. Look at him. He's talking to himself. He's fucking crazy. Man. Yeah, that guy right up. What? Ah, fuck. That's what I look like? What the hell? Why didn't anyone tell me this? I'm talking to a girl. I like this. I like this setup. I like your little studio here. Reminds me of my old studio. Spunk. That's why I got out of the studio. There's a lot of spunk in my studio, too. That was the problem with the studio. You can't have people over in the same room that you masturbate in. Like, you just can't host people. All right, here's some chips. We can watch the game here. Let's see. I jerk off in that corner over there. Then I cry in that corner. And there's my George Foreman. There it is. That's the tour. Oh, man. Good times. As Brandon said, yeah, I did a sports comedy podcast with his locker room. It's fun. I also gamble a lot, too. And, like, they say New Year's Eve is, like, amateur hour for drinking. Like, March Madness is, like, amateur hour for me. I hate March Madness. Just because everyone, like, it just drives me crazy. All week, this weekend was awful. Every bar, dude, my bracket's fucked, dude. Dude! My bracket is fucked! It's fucked, dude! Gonzaga fucked me, dude. Dude! Like, I can't even just enjoy the games. People got their brackets out in the bars. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. No one, like, back in the day, you just root for upsets and be fun, you know? Like that Florida Gulf Coast game was awesome. We're all rooting for Florida Gulf Coast. And there's this corner of, like, these fucking bros, and they're just, like, rooting for Georgetown real hard. Like, come on, Georgetown. I'm like, oh, they must have went to Georgetown. Like, did you guys go to Georgetown or something? No, I got them in my bracket, though. I need them. Yeah, no shit. You know who else has Georgetown? Everybody. Florida Gulf Coast doesn't have them in their bracket. Like, they got fucking Georgetown. You just enjoy the goddamn game. Oh, man, my bracket is fucked, dude. So fucked. Oh, man. Shouldn't do too much. This is nice. I like this little. Reminds me of a nice 70s home cocktail. Mm-hmm. Feels swingy. I drink a lot. I'm like Stephanie. I'm drinking my hangover away with some whiskey. I did too much fucking shots last night. Shots are all right idea. It makes liquor to your face quickly. And you forget about it until you're in front of, like, a urinal or a steering wheel or something. Or on stage or whatever. But then it, like, kicks in, you know. I don't like when people come Italian all of a sudden when they order shots. It's kind of weird. Like, we're doing shots, all of a sudden everyone comes Italian. I'm like, hey, salute, huh? Solo! CJ Solo! Am I getting fucking made over here? It's a fuzzy navel. Like, happy birthday, Jim, but we say cheers in this country. By this country, I mean England, I think. That's what I say cheers at. What do we say here? Salute? What am I complaining about? That'd be a good CD title. What am I complaining about? That's a good catchphrase. We'll do that. These guys drinking red wine at a bar? What am I complaining about? I go to the back, I can't tell if it's a men's or a women's. It's a drawing of a farmer. What am I complaining about? Oh, I'm going to do 20 minutes of that right now. No, I'm just kidding. Thank you very much. I'm CJ Sullivan.
CJ Sullivan, everybody. Bring the mic. Bring the mic. Oh, God damn it. Thanks for doing the show, number one.
Yeah, no problem. Why'd you say you were nervous to ask me on the top of the show?
You and Sean Flannery. Mm-hmm.
Has he done this?
He did the show last year, October. Okay. You were the last two guys that I just was too afraid to ask because you're funny.
That's a good policy.
It's definitely true. Everyone else that, like, I think is just as good as you doesn't live here anymore.
Fair
or
enough.
They've already done the show or whatever. But I'm afraid to talk to you about it because you've been doing it a long time and you're very, very good. And people that gamble a lot scare the shit out of me. And you know about sports and you could win in a fight.
Well, we would never fight.
Thank you so much. That's very kind of you. Here's some spunk.
Definitely take spunk.
Now,
you tasted this?
No, I didn't taste it. I just smelled it and rubbed it around in my hands.
Oh, fair. All right.
CJ, where are you from?
I'm from South Jersey originally, near Philadelphia.
Now, does that make you a fan of any of those teams? Are you
a
Philly fan?
Yeah, I'm a Philly fan.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are all the stereotypes true, yes or no? Every single stereotype?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, ever. Philly fans get a bad reputation of being, maniac assholes, which they are.
Yes.
They absolutely are.
Agreed.
I totally
good.
Agree. But people, like other fans, like just like to look down on someone, you know?
Of course.
All fans are assholes. Like a lot of every town's got asshole fans.
Yeah.
And like, but they just zero in on like what, and they kind of breed into it and kind of go nuts about it. You know? Like, there's idiots everywhere. Is what I'm trying to say.
Do you like any Chicago team?
Yeah, I like them. I like them all too.
Okay, good. When you gamble, do you give a shit about who you actually like?
No, you can't do that.
How long have you been gambling?
I like whoever I'm on.
Got it.
A lot.
When did
too
you,
much?
When you say gambling, we're not talking about like $10 on a game. We're talking about.
Yeah, things I shouldn't be doing.
Yeah, okay. Like you've
true gambling is gambling with money you don't have.
And you've done this.
Yeah.
And you do this.
Yeah. Well.
Do you have any games going right now?
Yes, I have Wichita State.
Okay. Now, are you always on your phone checking scores?
No, I don't really care about the scores. I'll like wake up. Like I'll watch it tonight and I'll wake up the next day and see it or whatever.
Okay. Are you in a relationship?
Yeah.
What does she think about this?
She doesn't she hopefully doesn't listen to this and she No, she of course hates it.
Okay, what
she
came
hates
first,
pretty
the
much
gambling
about
or her?
Oh, I've been gambling my whole life.
No, that's not a thing. Now, how do you start gambling?
My conscience. I literally was like booking bets like in grade school, like lunch money bets and shit like that.
When did you start throwing like actual money? Not lunch money, but like.
Oh
know,
right, well that was checks. Actually that was actual money for
of
us.
Of course, yes.
But I don't know. I guess high school. I guess we started gambling like hundreds of dollars, I guess.
No, that's nuts. You know that's nuts, right?
It's Jersey.
That's not a thing.
It's
that's
not
a thing. That's not a thing. You can't say a
nuts.
Place to justify a behavior.
That was the slogan in the 70s.
Jersey. Okay.
It's not nuts. It's Jersey.
Why did you... That's funny. Why did you move to Chicago?
Great question.
Thank you.
I used to have an answer for that.
That's great.
I forgot it.
That's cool.
No, I came out here. I was going to do like Second City and shit, and I did, you know, and then I stopped.
Why did you stop?
I don't know. Improv really wasn't my thing. I have nothing against improv. When it's done very well, it's very great and all that. But I don't know. It was just like, I don't know. It got weird. You know, when you're passing early on, when you're just taking classes and shit, and you're passing a fake red ball to a housewife, you know, you're like, you know, and you're just doing these games and like you're paying to go on there and like I didn't get enough stage time, so I just started doing stand up and
when is this
never really got off. This is yours. I mean, this is shit. I don't know.
What decade? Who was president?
Obama was a glimmer in the eye. No, I think it was like 2000 or something.
Okay, so you've been doing this a decade, more than a decade. Yeah. Yeah, you're real funny.
Thank you.
Do you see how you're intimidating? You haven't made eye contact with me. I'm nervous. How are you nervous?
You started screaming about New Jersey at me.
Nope, that's not what happened.
You called me a liar.
Did I
call? You called every guest that you're a liar, actually. That's your
I'm
thing.
I'm very good with that.
That is your thing. That's what this show should be called.
You're all liars.
Yeah, you're all
liars.
Liars
and thieves.
You, me, and you fucking liars.
Yeah, yeah. This is why I'm so torn on having you on this show.
This is great. Come on.
For you, good. I'm glad. I'm genuinely nervous to talk to you. Don't be sorry. I just want you to like me, which is the worst fucking thing in the world. Oh, not the worst thing in the world. Worse is like genocide and stuff. But like in terms
it's
of
second.
Like guest behavior, it's not second. The best. No, no, not even second. Like that'd be like trying
it's the worst thing in your world.
Oh no, no! This is a wonderful experience I'm having. This is I'm going to put this in the scrapbooks.
Now, why don't you you don't think you have a good radio voice? By the way, I think you have
compared to Akeem and compared to Esmeralda, I don't.
I think all three of you have very good, distinct voices.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Mine's awful. Mine's.
Yeah, yours is horrible.
Sounds like John Goodman
and it's funny
throwing up cigarettes.
Because your
co-host,
it does. Good call. Your co-host has an even worse voice.
Oh,
than
worse
yours.
Voice, worse dictation.
Sean Flannery.
Yeah.
Horrible voice.
Yeah. And
he sounds like he's from Boston.
Right.
He's from Ohio.
And he doesn't just mispronounce words, like he just misplaces, like just uses words that are not proper, but
yeah, and he emphasizes them.
Yeah, and he emphasizes them.
It's
and
great.
Like, and I understand, like, I'm like the Flannery Whisper, like, I understand what he means.
Yeah.
So I go, and he gets mad if you go back and correct him because he's like, kind of got that beautiful mind thing going. Like, you know, I'm going forward. Don't waste my time with words and,
yeah,
you know, like, great. What if you don't know what I mean, then forget about it.
Of
know?
Course.
I can't help you, which is kind of, it's kind of fun for me.
Now, you and Sean have been the show a long time.
Yep.
It's always either, it's not consistent.
Right.
You guys move studios occasionally?
Yeah, we haven't done in a while. Which is funny, because when we first started out, like years ago, we used to do it 5 days a week.
And you were like the only game in town.
We were somehow we're ahead and behind the game in podcasting.
Yep.
Yeah. We did podcasts like, I think we started 6 years ago, 7 years ago.
Yeah.
And it was nuts. We were hardcore. We did it like every day. And it was a sports comedy podcast, which, you know, no one didn't. I don't know. People didn't really exist. Like, not people didn't exist, but that kind of show didn't exist. Where it's like these hard drinking sports comic guys, and we really like lost our mind. Like it was a crazy show. Like one guy died. One guy had a mental breakdown.
Yeah. The second part's funny.
The other two didn't even realize it was a comedy show. Like they just didn't understand the format. They were doing like pure sports, and that's all true. It's all happened because of the show, I think.
Yeah, that's not good then. Maybe you should stop it.
No, who can? Who
okay.
Can? Well, we have, but yeah.
Yeah, you can. You'd also do the Super Bowl calls.
The what?
Didn't you guys do live Super Bowl calls?
Calls?
Didn't you like announce or like do commentary of the game?
No.
I'm going to cut that question from the podcast.
That'd be illegal. I'm pretty sure.
No.
We used to do a Super Bowl show, like a comedy show.
That's what I'm talking about.
It was like a year in review show at the Lodge where we would do a VLR show. Yeah, we do like a... Yeah, like a duo on stage, and like, that was fun.
Why not do
it? It was a sports play, we used to like to say. See, not too many, doesn't have a big audience.
We're in a bar with zero TVs, and I'm talking about this. I know it's got a big audience. I understand that. That's okay.
No,
I'm
there's not a big audience for sports plays, but we do
I'm talking about
it
all
right.
Of it.
Oh, okay. I got
okay.
You.
Now, I think it'd be. I'm just telling you what I want to see from you.
Yes, go for it.
I want to see a show of you and Sean doing all the big games. So if I don't have a horse in the race for say the NBA Finals, like I would rather go see Game 7 and you guys essentially
announcing the game. I do think that is the future. Actually, if you
announcing
want to
the
talk
game,
about
everything
it.
On mute. You actually have the screens. You could watch the game or you can ignore you guys or just pay attention. That would be the best.
I do think that's a future where you can just choose your announcers, whatever, and it could be. Like,
I would love to see that.
Or comics or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, do that, please.
That's also that's a lot of work.
No, two microphones and a TV on mute.
You watch it again.
We did it here.
Seems illegal.
It's not illegal.
It has to be illegal.
How is it illegal?
Me announcing the Super Bowl?
Not on TV.
You didn't hijack the microphone.
Yeah, you didn't kick in the broadcast doors.
I know, but they're
but
crazy
just
about
at a bar.
That. I know. But if it's...
What if it happens to be you're talking about the game on TV?
Yeah, I mean, it depends on the game. I'm telling you, the league is...
Only the Super Bowl.
Pretty crazy. Yeah, the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl doesn't even allow you to say the word Super Bowl.
It's great.
The NFL does.
Thanks for letting me bring you to this bar on a Thursday?
Thursday night.
Thursday night,
buddy.
Thursday night. And oh, she, we all have to clean up our acts. This is getting out of control. Do you have any plugs?
No.
Cool.
Twitter, CJVLR.
Yeah. Visitor's Locker Room.
Yeah.
Yeah. Please do that again.
I will. We absolutely will. Like we said, we're getting equipment shifting around. And you know what? It's too good not to, as you would say.
Yeah. That's what I say all the time. And you're at the Laugh Factory a good amount.
Yeah, I was there last night. We did a horrible social takeover show.
Good. Good times. Yeah. Good beers, good bros.
Yeah. I am there this weekend, actually.
See, there, that's a plug.
Yeah, but who cares? You know, no one there is going to come here. I mean, I wouldn't. I'm not telling you to go. I'll be there.
People listen on the podcast, though.
Oh, all right. Well, you guys show up. You at home, listeners at home. We always say that listeners at home. People usually listen to stuff like on their phones and shit like that? Like yeah. They're on the train. You should say listeners on the train. You should like, you know, say where they're at.
Hey, Phil on the toilets.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, I want to thank Phil on the toilet, and most importantly, thank you, CJ.
Oh, no problem.
Download his Not Podcast, everybody, and it's called Naked Sports Live. Check him out, everybody. Have a good night. We have Matt Campbell coming up. Put your hands together for CJ Sullivan.
Thank you.
Take your spunk. He took the spunk.
It was a gift.
Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for Matt Campbell, everybody.
Thanks so much.
You'll find life's lovely ride that rolls you up and over, boys, and throws you side to side. Flying free's the only way I know to stand my ground. No matter where I go, I can't slow down. Now, when I was just a young man, well, my papa told me, son, to measure up a man's success, it takes but only one. And I know it makes my mama cry to watch me run around. No matter what I find, I can't slow down. Well, walk away from waiting on your moment in the sun. There'll be time enough to whistle, boys, when all the working's done. And I'll shine this little light of mine as I roll town to town. No matter what I find, I can't slow down. Solitary schemes. Yeah, you only get one shot, my friends, to live inside your dreams. And I know right where I'm headed, never knowing where I'm bound. No matter how it's said, I can't slow down. I know right where I'm headed, never knowing where I'm bound. No matter how it's said, I can't slow down. No, I can't slow down. Find life's a lovely ride.
Thank you.
Of every bone you burn is the father of a famine's feast. Yeah, the paper said the people were headed south, and so I hopped a train and headed east to build a bridge across the sea, never waiting on the sky to fall. 'Cause in the time it takes a man to move a mountain, babe, you know the world, it barely turns. It all thank you. I've been from a New York City to the San Francisco Bay, Osceola out to Omaha and all points along the way. Detroit down to Houston, everybody's doing fine. It ain't sounding like it used to now. Colorado's on the mind. Yeah, everybody tells me so. Every saint starts out a sinner, Lord, and sometimes it's hard to know. We're gonna let that light between us, babe, and the ties that bind. If home is where the heart is, then Colorado's on my mind. But the magic's only here and gone. Silver sun is gonna steal away. The winter winds will whine. And I'm a race to where it's raining now. Colorado's on my mind. Took the time to do what the people do down in New Orleans. Yes, if living is like heaven, Lord, then to leave is a surely hell. Let my soul stay on forever, and we'll say it's just as well. Just a river of the rights remain when I draw the day divine. Back to from where I came, now Colorado's on my mind. Back to from where I came, now Colorado's home. Well, it's on my mind. The bygone bust of every bone you burn is the father of a famine's feast. Yeah, paper said the people were headed south, and so I hopped a train and headed east to build a bridge across the sea, never waiting on the sky to fall. 'Cause in the time it takes a man to move a mountain, babe, you know the world, it barely turns at all.
All right, thanks very much.
The moment that we met, I knew just what to do to make myself the man it takes to love someone like you. I'd leave the bottle empty, quit my getting high, and call all the birds I used to know and tell them all to fly. Now I kiss you oh so softly when we turn out the lights, and I hold you oh so close to me, but something just ain't right, and I'm hiding in the corner booth each night that we're apart. Escaping the corners of my heart. Thank you. Now I hold your hand and every door when we're out on the town. Yeah, so everybody knows what love looks like when you're around. And I'm hiding in the corner booth each night that we're apart, because there ain't no escaping the corners of my heart. And I'm hiding in the corner booth each night that we're apart, because there ain't no escaping the corners of my heart.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Just a couple more songs here for you. Thanks so much to Brandon for having me, and Hungry Brain for hosting this, and everybody for being here. So cool. And sort of the radio concept and the podcast concept is something I love. And this is a song about listening to the radio. Today I keep a constant companion of the lessons that I learned long ago. In the way I count all my blessings, I get my gospel on the radio. Bind me or burn like that light soft and low, and through the static the signal it still finds me. I get my gospel on the radio. Song. Is that all right with you guys? Play one in honor of our good friend here, Mr. Trevor McSmith. He's heard it a billion times, but maybe some of you aren't. Song's called 1600 Miles to Austin.
Thank you.
the hammock like you did. I guess I had it coming my way. I hit the street with that plaid suitcase, frazzled nerves and a tear-drenched face. So, darling, you know I hate to see you that way. Hey, you got yourself a big yellow taxi cab. Flipped me the bird and gave a call to your dad and said, Mister, take me to the JFK. Had a one-way ticket to the Lone Star State. Time's a-wasting, got no time to wait. Oh, baby, now tell me, are you going to stay? It's just 1,600 miles to Austin. Trains are rolling, life ain't costing me a dime. And I'm feeling fine. Yeah, your mother hates me, your dad's pissed off. Brother's got his old sod off, and I'ma see you right before the morning light. So I went to the station, put my ass on a bus. Every man gone crazy, got to do what he must to get back to the one he loves. Well, day old coffee, cigarettes, and cigars, drinking $2 beers and 10-cent bars, and the streetlights lead me to where you are. Blues right outside old Nowheresburg. When a pop from the tires, the last thing I heard, we got stranded. We got stuck out on the side of the road. So I stuck out my thumb, put some shuffle in my feet. No man-made detour spells out defeat, cause I be walking through the cold, boys. I be walking through the heat. This is 1,600 miles to Austin. Trains are rolling, life ain't costing me a dime. But I'm feeling fine. Yeah, your mother hates me, your dad's pissed off. Brother's got his old sod off, and I'ma see you right before the morning light. Pickup all rusted out brown. I hopped out and thanked the driver for helping me to make my way. Then I went to your house and knocked right on your door, but your daddy said you didn't want to see me no more. Let me finish, baby, please, I got something to say. Well, I came 1,600 miles to Austin for the soul my heart's been lost in. Yeah, and them big blue eyes, they're gonna make me cry. Yeah, show me to the one I love. Heaven sent me up above. Hell, I wouldn't know if I never would have tried. Yeah, baby, besides, it's just 1,600 miles to Austin. Trains are rolling, life ain't costing me a dime. I'm feeling fine. Yeah, your mother hates me, your dad's pissed off. Brother's got his old sod off, and I'ma see you right before the morning light. Yes, and I'ma see you right before the morning light.
All right, thank you so much. I got one more here for you. We've played a lot of shows here, actually, and because of that, this just kind of becomes the default place to play a lot of new music. So I'm going to play a new song for you. I'm from Colorado. When I was growing up around the house, we used to have a saying that went, too many chiefs, not enough Indians. Kind of means too many cooks in the kitchen. He's a friend of mine. Crossing evolution, counting revolutions, and there never seems to be enough time. Someday soon he's gonna do something. Boys, he's gonna do it somehow. You'd do better to believe him, but there's too many Indians now. Yeah, little sister Sally is stomping through the alley, angry as a man can be. Since she joined up with the cause, she never seems to pause. Now she's wondering, what about me? For they've read it, the bargain for the credit. For you know it, they'll be beating you to bow. I'll be sorry to have said it, but there's too many Indians now. Well, ask no questions as you please. Under candy's apple trees, cut the ladder, watch them scatter. Everybody's talking, but what does it matter? Line eyes and of a lightning strike is the killing of a sacred cow. Should be caught following the leader, but there's too many Indians now. Thank you. everybody is talking, and what does it matter? Lionizing of a lightning strike is the killing of a sacred cow. Should be following the leader, but there's too many Indians now. Should be following the leader, but there's too many Indians now. Oh, 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 oh. Thanks very much, folks.